Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Work from home. It's something that's not possible for what we've been calling essential workers. Doctors and nurses, grocery store workers, delivery drivers, mail carriers, plenty of other professions that can't be done from home. But since the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S. back in March, hundreds of thousands of office workers have shifted to remote work. As you've heard me say before, I've been broadcasting from my dining room table in a makeshift setup that the All-Star WNYC engineering team set up for me. And as more and more people and companies get comfortable with remote work, some wonder if we need to return to the office fully or at all. Web-based businesses like Facebook and Twitter are allowing, for some the word may be requiring, staff to work from home permanently. Other companies may follow suit, as internal surveys indicate more employees want to stay out of the office. But some business leaders who have attempted to work from home and have those experiments in their companies in the past, caution against a telecommuting future. They warn productivity suffers, and it becomes too difficult to hold workers accountable. Here to discuss some of the pros, cons, and complexities is New York Times tech reporter David Streitfeld. In his piece, The Long Unhappy History of Working from Home, he writes about how remote work lessons of the past inform a potential work-from-home future. David, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And listeners, what's your work-from-home experience like? Can you imagine working remotely forever if this has been new for you, or do you yearn to get back in the office? Do you work for one of the companies offering permanent telecommuting, and how do you feel about it? And employers, what do you want your company to do permanently, if this is a company you run? What kind of mix? Might it be different than before, even once coronavirus gets put behind us? 646-435-7280 for employees and employers. 646-435-7280. David, what's the central argument against permanent remote work?
The argument against it is that it seems very good in theory. It offers a lot of potential benefits to both the employers, who can get rid of their very expensive real estate, and to employees who don't have to commute. People spend hours commuting every day, and suddenly all that goes away. So in theory, this is great for both sides. In practice, it has often kind of blown up. And employers have found the employees to be somewhat unfocused when they're working at home. It's easy to let the reality of home life just get in the way of what you need to do unless you're tremendously focused. And for the employees, they may want to be there, but if you are distant from the office, if you are distant from your boss, your supervisor, it's easy to get truculent, to think the boss doesn't care about me, to think I should be better off, I would be better off working somewhere else, to let your productivity, your interest in the work slide because you're not in front of someone expecting you to do it.
Some companies have gone back and forth on the issue, I see. You mentioned Best Buy experimenting with remote work back in 2004 before dropping the program in 2013. So it went on for a while. It's 9 years. But they concluded that it gave employees too much freedom. But now with 95% of their workforce at home during the pandemic, they say they may allow it to continue. You want to talk about Best Buy? And am I citing that right? Too much freedom?
Yeah, you're citing it right. When Best Buy started the program in the early part of the century, they were doing pretty well. And when they ended it, they weren't doing that well. They had a lot of competition from other retailers, the company's revenue was going down. And fairly or unfairly, when that starts to happen, when the company gets in trouble, they tighten the screws. They say, you may be working fine, or you may say you're working fine somewhere else, but we need you in the office. It's all hands on deck. I think they literally use that phrase. Mm. And over time, the company did recover, whether this is because the people were now in the office or whether it's because of brilliant management or other reasons. People are still arguing about this.
Dune in Chester, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Dune.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You're an employer, I see.
Yes.
What kind of company? Go ahead, you go.
We're a food company. We do natural, organic, and allergy-friendly foods.
Uh-huh. And
so
how distributed
we're considered
is...
essential.
And yet some of your employees can work from home, and how are you grappling with pros and cons of that?
Well, like everything else in life, it's a trade-off. And you know, our people can work effectively, and we can get things done. But what you lose is the casuality of relationships and the ability to walk down the office and just sit down with somebody and say, hey, what do you think of this? It forces you to be scheduled in everything you do. And I think that we're finding from our people that they feel a bit more pressure on their time because you have to schedule just about every single conversation.
That's a huge point, David, isn't it? And Dune, thank you for raising it.
It is a big point, and the one about that he made earlier about culture is a good point too. If your relationship with everyone is mediated through electronics, mediated through the internet, how do you develop enough of a camaraderie to have a company culture that people really want to fight for, really feel part of, and really want to make a contribution to that goes above and beyond whatever their assigned task is? It's really hard.
Dune, thank you. Jacob in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Brian. Very happy to be on the air. Love your show.
Thank you. Glad you're on.
Thank you. I was just calling in to say that I definitely found that first I was a little bit less productive as I was working from home, but as I've kind of gotten used to the routine and, you know, have my own little setup now, I actually find I'm a little bit more productive because there's less of this, like, crosstalk in the office, and that's a whole separate point that your earlier caller brought up. I definitely missed some of that culture. As far as productivity is going, mm-hmm. I'm very focused on my work now. I'm kind of, like, keeping my head down and no more of this, like, you know, talk of politics in the office or the weather or what are you doing this weekend. A lot of that has gone away.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a software engineer.
Uh-huh. Jacob, thank you so much. So isn't that interesting, David? The first caller, we need that casual contact. And the second caller, you know, we can do without that casual contact and I'm more productive.
There's a lot of different views. I think also writing software, maybe like writing newspaper stories, you need less contact with the people around you in your office than some other jobs. But I do think in general, companies are saying that productivity since the start of the lockdown 3 months ago is up. And so clearly people are able to focus. I don't really quite understand how they're able to do that with their spouse at home, with their kids at home. But there's a lot of focusing going on, which is possible when you are working from home.
You reference tech companies. He's a software engineer, the last caller, spending billions on large campuses, some resembling dormitories. Is the future of productivity living at work as opposed to working at home?
Well, that's what they thought it was, living at work back in, 3-4 years ago, and even, frankly, up until the beginning of the virus 4 months ago. They thought it was living at work. Now they seem to think they're going to go entirely in the other direction. And Silicon Valley does set the agenda for a lot of corporate behavior. They're the most successful companies we have. And so they kind of teach the rest of the companies what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot more companies, a lot more ordinary companies, just doing remote hiring, which means they'll be hiring all around the globe. And I think that's going to create some pressure on workers in the United States, which, you know, will be difficult for those workers to meet up with. It's hard to compete against people who will work for less than you and work less money than you and work more hours.
That's a couple of interesting things right there. So on moving away from the campus model, I mean, if, you know, I'm sure you've been in one Google location or another. Somebody could work there and basically have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the office. Just
right.
If you're working, you know, 9 to 6:30 or something like that, and take your break playing ping pong without ever leaving work. Now it's just the opposite. And Trump just canceled the H-1B visa program for the rest of this year, which was the program that brings in skilled workers, software engineers, among others, so as not to have competition right. with Americans during a high unemployment period. But you're saying it doesn't matter because they don't have to come to America to get these jobs if everybody's working remotely.
Exactly. And what you're just saying, I realized when you were saying it, it's like we've gone from one ideal extreme. You're going to be spending all your waking hours in the office, to the other extreme, which is you're not going to have an office. And I can, you know, either extreme, both extremes are not probably particularly healthy for the workers, at least in the long run.
Billy in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Billy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been working from home for the past 3.5 months, and I live in a studio apartment, which has been quite challenging. It's a perfect apartment for living in New York, but when New York's not available, it's quite limiting. So waking up in your office every morning can be a little depressing.
When it's just a studio apartment. So there's another big aspect of it, David, that we haven't touched on yet. We've been talking about sort of from the work-life perspective. Not everybody has the best living situation, but not everybody has the same living situation. So if instead of being able to go out and go to work, you're working from home by fiat, and you live in a studio apartment, your whole life, sort of, is one room.
I think that's a real problem now, and it's made even worse by the fact that you can't easily go out and work for a couple of hours in a cafe the way you used to, because you live where I live, you live many places, they're all closed. So workers who are only at home, in a small home, can only be at home, I think can suffer a lot more. And, you know, now it's a crisis and they have to do it. In the future, when hopefully the virus relents, whether they'll still be willing to do it, I'm not so sure. They're going to be begging to come back in the office, and maybe they'll take less money to work in an office than they would make if they were just staying home.
Let's see if we can get one more in here. Francine in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Francine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for having this topic. It's something that I'm pretty passionate about. I've worked for the past 8 years from home, and then recently in September, I went back to working in the office full time up until March, of course, when the pandemic forced everyone to work from home. Mm-hmm. For me, there's a few things that I've reflected work at home experience, which is having the always on culture, really feeling like it was hard to create boundaries, especially when you're working across time zones. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really been highlighted for me with working with my kids at home is the unintended messages that they're receiving that work is more important than them. Because, you know, if I'm in a meeting or working on a project and, you know, I need to tell them to wait for their turn, so to speak. And I will say an interesting anecdote. We watched the movie 9 to 5 with my kids, and I had to explain to them what that meant because they didn't understand the concept of working from 9 to 5 because they see my husband and I always working.
Right. From 9 a.m. until 5 a.m.
Yes.
Francine, thank you very much. And you know what? Francine's going to get the last word. And we thank New York Times tech reporter David Streitfeld. His article, The Long Unhappy History of Working from Home, as his article covers, and we've heard from some of you, with some of the pros and the cons and the complexities. David, thanks a lot.